This week we are continuing the series on the book of Colossians. We hope that this message blesses you.
You know, we've been journeying through Colossians chapter, well, Colossians, the whole book, but we're going to be in Colossians 3, 12 through 14. If y'all want to turn there, I'll catch up to you guys in a minute. But, you know, we've been journeying through the book of Colossians to just study it, to read it, to know it. There's so much depth. So much depth. Y'all are probably getting annoyed with the book of Colossians, and it's like, man, you could preach this for a long time, and it's still true. So, man, we're going to hang out here until we feel led to do something else, you know, but want to say thank you guys for coming. Today is a Sunday where we have the kiddos in service, all service. The second and fourth, the kiddos will go back after worship into their class, but we really do feel like having the kids in here, at least for part of it, at least part of the worship, and then every other week. Part of the teaching is crucial. You know, I know there will be some things that they won't get, and it, maybe because of a fault of mine, but it's okay. But like, there's things that it's just not going to make sense in the moment to them, but we really truly do believe that there will be words that are spoken, whether it's through worship or through the word, that one day they'll go, oh man, that's what that guy was talking about. They'll come into a situation and go, oh yeah, that's right, I've heard this before, you know? And so I know it is maybe a little different if you're new here to have kids in the service during that. And sometimes they are loud. Sometimes they have to go to the bathroom 19 times. I don't know why, but sometimes they do. And just, we have grace towards them. But I do want to say thank you guys for sticking it out with us and look forward to this. You know, this passage of bearing with one another, forgiving one another, just as Jesus forgave you. Man, this is probably one of the most difficult things to like walk out, actually, to actually like take this word and go, okay, I'm going to believe every word that you say, right? That I'm going to bear with one another. I'm going to forgive one another just as you've forgiven me. One of the most difficult things to do. If you lived on an island by yourself, probably not so much, but you don't. You live in Parker County. And I know it's the, what is it, the cutting horse capital of the world. It also happens to be the bad driver capital of the world, it appears like. The most impatient driver capital of the world somehow. They've all congregated here. And when I say they all have, I've joined them. You know, I'm part of that. And right, and so it's hard to bear with one another, to forgive one another, just as Christ forgave it. It's so difficult. But when we are able to walk in this manner, it's going to be the most beneficial thing we could ever do. To live a lifestyle that we are unoffended, that's difficult. I mean, it's even so difficult for your pastor, somebody, I don't even know who it is, they left a book on my desk, said, How to Be Unoffendable. I'm like, well, I'm going to start off by being offended that you left me a book about how to be unoffendable. Should have put a note on there first or wrapped it up and gave me a warning, but I just walk in there. How to be unoffendable. Well, we better start right off the bat with page one. You know, we better start. But we live in a culture that's just like, man, it's division. It's, you know, are you an Aggie or a Longhorn? Are you a Longhorn? Are you whatever? You know, all the other things. Like, are you Democrat or Republican? We have divisions all throughout. Like, and we keep trying to say we're all the same, right? You know, the message that the world says, hey, let's just love everybody. But yet, all the world does is slap labels and divisions on us. And so this idea to bear with one another, to forgive one another, it's so difficult. The world is full of division, of bitterness, resentment. But we, as Christ followers, we're called to a higher standard. One that doesn't go, okay, hey, I'm just going to, they did that to me, so I'll do it to them, right? And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus starts teaching through some of those things. But we as Christ followers, we do not get to stoop down to their level. And that is not enjoyable. Sometimes it's my flesh enjoys the lashing out as I get lashed out at. But we are called to a higher standard of mercy and grace and forgiveness than the rest of the world. What I don't like about this verse is it doesn't give any exceptions. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a grievance against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you are to forgive. There's no exception. It doesn't matter if they cut you off. It doesn't matter if your boss stiffed you on hours. It doesn't matter. There's no exceptions. Right? It's not like we get to just, oh, if we feel like it, then we'll forgive. Or if it wasn't that big of a deal, then we'll forgive. But there's no exceptions. We do not get to just like, oh, come and go into this Christian life. Like, it is a call to a deep walk in fellowship with Him where we cannot be offended, where we cannot respond as the rest of the world does. This is so important because the message of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus, is all about forgiveness. He bore our sins. Not only did He just take them on, the word says that He became our sins so that we would know no sin. The entire gospel is about forgiveness, how we were once separated, alienated from Him. But now that we've been adopted into sonship, adopted into a family, that once we were far off, but now we've been brought near. All of the gospel is about forgiveness and restoration of relationships. But yet we want to walk on this earth and just be able to cut people off, cut them out of our lives whenever they offend us. That's not what we get to do. And this message is probably one that y'all have heard. Like, probably today, no one came in here with the mindset of like, I don't have to forgive. It's all right. No, like, I think we all know that, right? Like, we know that the deep calling, and you've heard sermon upon sermon about forgiveness. Today is really just an opportunity for you to go, okay, I'm actually going to do that today. We went to, me and my wife went to Rangers game last Sunday, and it happened to be on the same day as a Cowboys game, which is just awful. You know, you come from a town of 600 people, and you go to like the 1 square mile, there's 600,000 people. Man, it's rough, you know? It's rough to be around people, but we were leaving, and I'm against GPS for the most part. I want to try to figure it out myself, which sometimes takes you into interesting places and then you have to turn around. But we were leaving the Rangers game, no GPS, and I was just like, we'll get there. And I look up and I'm like, we're not on 30 right now. And Lauren's like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, we're not on the right road. It's okay. We'll figure it out. You know, she's like, I'll pull it up. I'll see where. I said, don't worry about it. It's okay. One, we got no kids with us, so whatever. If we don't get back till Tuesday, who cares? You know? There's just that sense of like, we're not on the right road. We were not. Took the next exit, figured it out. Today is one of those opportunities where we get to go, oh, I'm a little off right now. There's something that's... So can we just say, hey, Holy Spirit, whatever you want to do. If there's a prompting, I'm just going to exit, make a U-turn, get right back on the right road. If there's something I've been holding on to, I'm just going to let it go. If there's someone I've been against, I'm going to let them go, and I'm going to get right back on the path that I'm supposed to be on. And, you know, last year there was an incident where somebody had said some really hurtful things about me. You know, I mean, just like about me, about the church, told everybody about how awful this church is, and lots of things that if I told you, some of y'all would be like, yeah, I could see that. But most of y'all would be like, really? And man, there's something to where I'm like, hey, we're going to be unoffendable. And then I found someone, you know how it works. It always comes out. It always finds out. Man, I found out, and I was just like, I'm pretty chill. Unless you're watching a Longhorns game with me, you know, I'm pretty chill. But man, something rose up in me, this need to be right, to be justified, my pride, like defend my church, defend my people. And man, I called that person up because, hey, Matthew, you know, in my mind, I was like, hey, Matthew 18, I'm going to go to him. I'm going to go to him right now. You know, and I call him up and I'm like, hey, did you say this? Just like that. You know me. I'm not that guy. I said, did you say this? I'm on the phone. Well, this. And I said, hey, you're man enough to say it behind my back. Say it right now. I was mad. And he goes, well, yeah, I did say that. Here's what I meant, blah, blah, blah. I said, hey, whatever, it's okay. I forgive you. He said, hey, can we meet? I said, no, I don't. Hey, I said I forgive you. I don't need to meet with you. Don't you understand? He called me again that day. Hey, man, I'm really sorry. Hey, can we meet up for lunch? I said, hey, man, you said it, whatever. I don't care. I just wanted to make sure that I heard you clearly. You said it. We're done. We don't need to go into this anymore. You know, I had really gone through those steps of forgiveness already. And I mean, man. So many times we think that forgiveness is just this ability to say, I forgive you. And then we get to move on. And it's hard to actually then go and have a conversation, because then we actually did get to sit down, and still didn't go well for me. I didn't handle it well, you know. But these opportunities are valuable, because what I learned through that is I was not really upset with him. There was something that he said that my flesh agreed with. There was something in me that needed to be stripped away, some pride, some need to be right, that when he spoke, that pride in me goes, bro, you ain't gonna let him talk to you like that, are you? And I was like, no, I'm not, you know? So what happens is, in that moment, when I didn't handle it well, I would like to say days later, weeks later, it was probably months later, the Lord was able to go, hey, here's why that hurt you. And months later, I was like, okay, I know, but he said this. And the Lord said, but it's not about what he said. It's that there was something in you that I needed to strip away, so that when it happens again, you don't respond that way. And man, I want to just be like, I was just like, oh, Lord, you're so good. I was like, is there not another way to do it, Lord? Like, can we go behind door number two? Like, what's happening there? And, I say this pretty often, but we really are, like, the most unoffendable pastor. Like, we have people that are new here today, and man, welcome, glad y'all are here. If y'all are here today and that is it, and you're like, that's not the place for me, we are not offended at all. We want you to be where the Lord wants you to be. I'm not going to take it personal, because I'll probably assume it was Kelly. You know, it was probably her fault. You know, it wasn't me. You know, that's where I've learned. You know, hey, it's not me. They love me. But we get to this place where we're unoffended, to where that my value and my purpose doesn't come from my desire to be right, or that my desire to be right is not the number one desire in my life anymore. My desire to be known and seen pales in comparison to the desire to be a son that's seated at the right hand of the Father. And so it's tough, because people are people, man. And they, you know, especially people that are close to you, they know what buttons to push and when to push them. And it's like, dude, today we're going to read, it should be on the screen if I did it correctly, but Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. This is the Christian Standard Bible. Yours might say it a little bit different, but basic idea is the same. It says, therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a grievance against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you are also to forgive. Last verse right here, it says, above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. We kind of go with one main thing to walk away from, because I say a lot of words. And so if you can just take away one main thing, it says that forgiveness opens the path to relationship. Bitterness and anger are roadblocks to my spiritual maturity and to ultimately to my freedom and to the freedom of those who offend me. So that was probably more than what I actually put up on the screen, but forgiveness is an open path to relationship. That when we have unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, it creates a barrier in our relationship. Same thing between me and the Father. Whenever I have an offense towards him, He's got nothing against me, but when I have an offense against him, that bitterness creates a barrier right there where I don't want to go near him because I feel a certain way. Same thing happens with people when there's bitterness and anger in me towards, I would say one of y'all, but there's not one of y'all, right? But maybe there is. But like if there's anger or bitterness towards somebody, then what happens is that serves as a roadblock, and I don't want to build that relationship. I don't want to go down that path because I'm offended by you, you know? And so what we want to look at today is that these words, the first one is, the first command here is to bear with one another. This word, it means so much more than to just bear with, but it carries the idea of putting up with each other, enduring, to make an allowance for each other's faults. Bearing with one another is not about tolerating people from a distance, but it's about walking with them through their struggles and weaknesses. To bear with one another means like, man, like we're going to walk through this together. I know, and maybe I'm wrong in this, but man, to me, that forgiveness, that way to just say, hey, you're forgiven, you're done. Okay, good. That's so easy. But to bear with one another, like I don't get to just say, hey, you're forgiven, you're done, you're gone. Or, oh, hey, you annoy me a little bit. I don't want to deal with you, right? But to bear with one another means that I'm going to stick out this thing with you, that I'm going to endure with you, that I'm going to walk with you, that I like the way that it says, here it says to make an allowance for each other's faults. Like that means that if you have little quirks, little things that I have to, that I need to make an allowance for that. Like, you know, if you're a little more black and white than I am, you know, not talking to anybody in particular, but some people are a little more black and white than I am. I like to just smooth things over and you know, make everybody happy, which normally backfires on me, right? If I would just be more black and white, it would go better. But some people are a little more black and white, and so make an allowance for that. And then you have to make an allowance for me when I'm just like trying to skirt around it. You just have to say, hey, Jeff, tell me how you really feel. Oh, okay, okay. To make an allowance for each other's fault, one, because that means that we're going to stay in relationship together. That to bear with one another means that no matter what, I'm not going to abandon you. It's so easy to come into people's lives, and as soon as it gets too difficult, you leave. You know, we talk all the time about discipleship and mentoring, and honestly, the greatest struggle, the greatest resistance to discipleship and mentoring is not time. It's how do I respond when we've said this thing over and over and over and they choose to walk away from it? Because it's so easy when they walk away to go, man, I told you. You know, when your kids do it, I'm like, hey, I told you, man. But to bear with one another means, hey, I told you, but let's go here and let's fix this together. Let's make this right. So difficult. It's about remaining steadfast when others test your patience. Not because it's easy, but because we have the Spirit of God that enables us to do that. It would be so easy to just live on an island by yourself. Nobody to offend you, nobody to upset you. But man, we are called together. The word says in 1 Corinthians that we are one body. That we have to make allowance for each other's faults. That when someone is weak, that we have to bear together and support them. But we see it so many times in church where someone is weak and we cast them aside because it's like, man, that's messy. That's ugly. That doesn't look like the rest of the things that are supposed to look like. To bear with one another says, hey, I'm not going to abandon you on this path. There's a story in the, I want to say it's Matthew, where it says that people bring the disciples a demon-possessed man. They can't cast it out. So they bring him before Jesus and say, Jesus, we don't know what's going on. We can't do this. And Jesus, you know his words? He said, how much longer do I have to put up with you? How much more do I have to bear with you? How much more do I have to make an allowance for you? Because then what does he say? You have little faith. If only you had faith the size of a mustard seed. Like, so many times we take that as a teaching and we make it overarching. But Jesus said, if you who have just walked with me, if you guys just had the faith of a mustard seed, you could tell that mountain to move and it would move. And he said, how much longer do I have to bear with you? How much longer do I have to put up with you? But he didn't say, all right, and now you have to go. Y'all failed the test. He walked it out with them. He welcomed them at a table on the night that he was handed over to suffering and death, that one was going to betray him. He said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Peter did. Jesus, after he's resurrected, he comes back to him, and man, so many times we just think that Jesus, and we think that he's going to say this to us, and he's just like, man, how could you have done that? Get away from me. I told you you were going to, but what does he say? Hey, Peter, I want you to feed my sheep. He said, yes, I will. No, Peter, I want you to feed my sheep. And he calls him Peter, the rock. He says, you are the rock that I'm going to build my church. To bear with one another goes, hey, I see your faults. I see your difficulties. I see that you're a little extra, but man, I'm going to stay there with you. And I'm going to walk this out with you. Because let's be honest, Jesus should have given up on every one of us a long time ago. Not one of us here have gone, Jesus has said one time, hey, don't do that. And we're like, we got it. And we walk the rest of our life never giving in to sin. Nope. He bears with us. He stays with us. It's not easy. People are messy. Relationships are hard. But maturity doesn't come about by doing the easy thing. Maturity comes about by doing the hard things and doing them well. To have a life where we never have to deal with hard things, with difficult people, with people that don't like us. It's so easy to bear with one another when we're lovable, when we're kind, when you're praising them, right? You're like, man, those are, what do we love to say about those types of people? What they're, man, those are my people. Yeah, why are they your people? Because you like them and they like you. As soon as they tell you something that you don't like, what is it? Man, you're out. You're out of the friend group, out of the Marco Polo group, out of the group text. You're done, right? Man, when they're my people, they're my people. But people are messy. Relationships are difficult. Nobody's got this thing figured out. But can you agree with me that God uses those difficult people to shape you and form you? If your whole life existed with people just telling you how good you are and never being honest with you, how mature would you be? You'd be a spoiled brat that was never told no. Never told like, hey man, you just can't do that. Maturity comes by being in relationship with one another that are difficult, that stretch us, that challenge us, that require us to go to the Father. Like, but to bear with one another, we have to be with people. And the truth is that when you make an allowance for other people's faults, when people offend you and you pour out your grace on them and you're able to look past their faults, then you're actually able to see them at a deeper level than you've ever been able to. If all I can see is your fault, then all I am is frustrated with you. If all you can see are my faults, then you'll always be frustrated with me. But when I bear with you, when I extend the same grace and mercy and forgiveness that the Father has given to me that covers my sins, that I bear with you and I allow that grace to flow from me to you, now I no longer see your faults. I can see you for who you were created to be. Because we're not focusing on the negative. You Ephesians 4, 2 and 3, it says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. To bear with one another requires sacrifice and patience and compassion. You know, you're probably not like me, but you probably are, right? But like, we want mercy for us and justice for everybody else, don't we? We want to be able to look past our faults, but yet we want to judge you harshly for yours. I was a Little League coach. Somehow at the age of 21, they thought it would be a good idea for me to coach a group of 10 to 12-year-olds. And we were good, mainly because I know the rules and I like to win at all costs. So one of those costs was 10 to 12-year-olds. We were middle of the season. We had this kid come over from Mexico. He just came over. His name was Jesus. And Jesus didn't have a birth certificate. He was probably, 14 or 15. But me being the guy that is just like welcoming and all inclusive, and I didn't want him to miss out on the baseball season. I said, hey, come play with us, man. We got you, And but nobody knew. Nobody knew that he was 14 except me. And Jesus became the star pitcher. At 10 to 12, you're just trying to get the ball over the plate, right? Like just get there. Jesus was throwing curveballs, changeups. He was unreal, mainly because he was 14. And man, we were playing and life was good. We went down to Morgan Mill and this is like 2002 probably. And we come up against a pretty good Morgan Mill team. They're coached by Tuff Hedeman, like world champion bull rider, all that. And I know the rules. And so his pitcher had pitched too many pitches. So I let him warm up, because once you start warming up for the new inning, it already counts as the inning. So I knew that, and I just let him warm up. And right when he's about to throw his first pitch, I said, hey, Tom. And I go up to the ump, man, just a punk, 21-year-old punk. And I go, hey, the kid's threw too many pitches. And I'm just like, And Tuff Hedeman, he was in the bullpen, and he got to the catcher's plate in about 0.2 seconds. And he's only about this tall, but I was like, oh man, this is going bad quickly. And Tuff Hedeman is just, yelling at me, cussing at me, and he's like, the whole time, my pitcher is 14. All right. Man, he was mad. He's like, hey. Okay, I'll just pull him out. I say, no, it's okay. He's already pitched. Just let him pitch. We'll win the game. It's a forfeit. And the umpire, he's from Morgan Mill, and he's just like, dude, what are we going to do? He's talking to Tuff Hedeman, and Tuff's like, I don't know. And the superintendent, his son was on my team at Strawn. Superintendent had kind of made his way down for backup, or at least to pull my body off of the field. And man, I said, hey, you can just pitch him. Let him pitch the whole game. We already won. And so as a 21-year-old punk, I made him forfeit the game, even though I had a 14-year-old pitching and technically a 15-year-old, but I only let him play outfield. So but I wanted justice. That pitcher pitched too many pitches. But for me, I was like, I'm just trying to let kids play. We're a small town. These kids don't have very many opportunities. But how many times do we do that? How many times does somebody wrong us, talk bad about us, and we are fired up? And then we go from there and we have a conversation about the person that talked bad about us, to talk bad about them to someone else, to justify ourselves. Why? Because we want to look past our faults and only focus on theirs. Forgiveness opens the path to relationship. Anger and bitterness are roadblocks to spiritual maturity and freedom. There'll be a time of response at the end for you to just get alone with the Holy Spirit and just ask Him. But is there somebody that you are wanting to cut out? And the Lord's like, no. They just keep circling back like, man, how do they keep finding me here? Yeah, there's a reason. Is there somebody like that? Or maybe there's somebody that you were successful and you were able to cut them out because they frustrated you. Well, there's going to be a time where you get to respond to the Lord and say, man, Lord, I didn't respond well to that one. And you say, if they're still valuable to me to bring me about to spiritual maturity, would you bring them back into my life? It's going to be a tough one. I wanted to give you a warning on that. Verse 13, it says, and forgiving one another if anyone has a grievance against another. This word forgiving, we pretty much know it, but it means to give freely and unconditionally, to show kindness or favor. Forgiveness here, it means it's a heart decision to release the offense, to cancel the debt, and to let go of revenge or justice. You see, it's so easy to just say, hey, I forgive you. But to let go of revenge, right? Like, you owe me something. How many times do we hold that over people's heads when they offend me, when they wrong me, when they disappoint me? Then we're like, some part of us actually kind of enjoys it because now we have something on them. Now they owe me something. There's no other act that reflects the heart of God more than forgiveness. To release forgiveness to people who do not deserve it. Because here's the thing. If you all told me the story of why y'all were wronged and disappointed and hurt, I'd be on your side. I'd be like, let's go get them. Get the pitchforks. Let's go. I cannot believe they did that and said that. I would be on your side. I really would. Because then I would want you to be on my side. But to release forgiveness to people who do not deserve it, what better reflection is there than how Jesus did that for us? The word says, while we were yet enemies, he went on a cross for us. Not when you're at your best. Not when you followed every rule and every law. But while you were an enemy of God, he died for you. To release forgiveness for people who do not deserve it is no better reflection of the character of God than that right there. Look at what Paul says. He says, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. It doesn't say if you feel like it. Don't say it when it's easy, when it's your best friend. It's not a suggestion. It's a command from the Lord. You look at this story of Jesus told a parable that actually starts a little bit before that. I think it was Peter said, hey, Lord, how often do we have to forgive somebody? And the teaching back then, the rabbis had kind of said three. That was the number. Hey, if somebody wronged you three times, forgive them three times with the fourth. All right, forget them. And so Peter is like, hey, Jesus, how many times should we forgive somebody? And you know what number he throws out? He goes, like seven? You know, he's thinking, hey, I'll throw out a bigger number and see what Jesus has to say. Like, that'll impress them. Should we forgive them seven times, Jesus? And Jesus says, seven times 70. Like, there's unlimited forgiveness. And then he tells a parable. And he said, hey, there was a man who owed a debt. And it was 10,000 talents. It goes based on work days. So imagine your debt is 10,000 talents. It would be 60 million working days. That's a lot. Couldn't repay it, correct? Right? We work like 220 a year here. So however long you plan on working, that's like 160 lifetimes. Right? Couldn't repay it. The guy that owes it falls down before the king. He says, have mercy on your servant. And the king forgives him. Okay, hey, your debt's forgiven. The man is amazed. And he walks out of there and lives the rest of his life serving the Lord. No. He walks out of there, finds a guy that owes him 100 days wages, which is still a lot. But 100 days, we could do that. Half a year. He finds a guy that owes him 100 days worth of work. And he says, hey, let me have my money back. Even though he doesn't need his money to pay the debt, he's been forgiven of the debt. It's done, canceled, paid for, doesn't owe any more money. He just wants that money now. The guy says, hey, I can't, but I will. Just give me some time. And the guy throws him in jail. The master hears about it and he goes back and they say, hey, bring that guy back in. They bring him back in. He says, I forgave you of all of this. And you went out here and you couldn't do the same. And honestly, we have been forgiven of a debt that we could not pay. There was a chasm far too wide that no amount of goodness, no amount of right trying and striving would ever get us there. We've been forgiven of a debt of 60 million working days. And someone goes through that McDonald's drive-through line where it goes to two, and then they go into that second lane even though they're not supposed to. You know what I'm talking about? And we are ready to bring down hell and fire on them. We're calling things down from heaven that we didn't even know are up there. You know, and you're like, and it's like, wait a minute. I've been forgiven of a debt that I could not pay, and now I'm going to have to wait an extra 2 minutes for my little chicken nuggies. Like, poor me. And that's a humorous example. There are some things that are very difficult that people have done that have wronged you, that have cost you money, that have cost you relationships, that have cost you health. And I get it. Actually, I don't, because I haven't been there. But can I tell you that the Father does? And that does not change the parable. The parable does not go, oh, but if you've been abused, if you've been neglected, then don't worry about it because I understand. No, the call is the same whether they cut you off at McDonald's or whether they abused you. Whether they caused hurt and pain that I can't even imagine, the call does not change. I want it to for you, but it doesn't. You've been forgiven of a debt that you could not pay. My only response is to forgive them of something that pales in comparison to my offense against the Lord. When we withhold forgiveness from others, we are holding it over their head. We're saying that you owe me this debt. The word says, and it's talking more about money in this instance, but it says that the borrower is slave to the lender. When you wrong me and I hold it over you, I act as if you are my slave because you owe me this. You have to pay me back this. The good news is that forgiveness is not anything that I can do out of my own being. It's only by surrendering to the Holy Spirit and allowing Him to work in us and through us. Bitterness and anger and forgiveness will rob us of what the Lord has planned for us. When we hold on to bitterness, anger, resentment, and unforgiveness, we're like shutting off a spigot where His mercy and His grace freely flow into our lives. Jesus said, if you do not forgive others, right, then what? You will not be forgiven. When I hold on to bitterness, anger, resentment, I already said anger. When I hang on to those things that you could fill in the blank, we turn off the spigot and the grace and the mercy that freely flows in my life is shut off. And honestly, what we're saying in those moments is I would rather feel angry and upset instead of loved, valued, and forgiven because I want to be justified in those moments. Forgiveness does not excuse the wrong. It heals the wound. Forgiveness, like you want to be healed of that wrong, release forgiveness. When we see these, remember when, and I think I shared the story once, but you had the cop that walked into the wrong apartment and killed the man. And then at the trial, the brother asks to give her a hug, and he says that you're forgiven and that I want the best for you. Y'all remember this like courtroom scene, and it was most dramatic, and the world went crazy over it. They're like, how in the world does that happen? But the truth is that that should be happening every second of the day. The church should be forgiving and doing that same exact example all day long. What would happen? What would happen if we just looked like that? There's not enough room in all the churches in the world to contain the people if the church looked like that. There's that one passage in Ephesians, and it says, like a lot of times they'll say, like, in your anger, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down, before you resolve it. And the one of the better translations that I like, which is the CSB, it says, be angry and do not sin. Be angry and do not sin. You see that there is, it's okay to feel angry, to feel hurt and disappointed, but it's not okay to do angry, to do hurt and to do disappointed. Like, I can't, in my anger, I cannot respond out of anger. I can feel the anger. It says, be angry and do not sin. Like, it's okay. What they did hurt, but I cannot respond in that manner. That it says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. We have to deal with these things quickly. The longer we let them stay, the more damage they have. We, as young parents, me and my wife, you know, you get like a thorn, what is it, like a sticker, a thorn or whatever, and eventually it'll fester up and come out, you know, and you can pick it out, pull it out of your kids. And I think maybe it was Ben. Ben stepped on some glass one time, and we kind of applied the same approach. We're like, okay, we'll just wait for a minute, let it come out, you know, give it a couple days, soak it, and pull it out. And then after like a week and a half, like it didn't. And so we took him to the doctor, and the doctor said, glass is different. Glass will continue to wedge itself deeper and deeper. And so many times we think, hey, if we just let that thing stay there for a bit, if we just let it stew for a little bit, then, man, then I'll be able to deal with it. Or we'll just put it to the side. But what happens, the same thing is with bitterness and anger and resentment. It's not just going to slowly work itself out so that you can just not have to feel the pain. If we don't work on it, it'll dig itself deeper and deeper and deeper. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Like, when we're hurt, when we're wounded, we have to deal with it immediately. Unresolved anger will cause you to do things that you normally wouldn't do. You know, that's why they call it like a crime of passion, right? You walk into a situation, it's like, whoa, and anger, boom. Because what happens is the main reason on resolving it quickly is that when I let it hang around, then I let it determine how I respond. Right? Like if you offend me and I don't deal with it, then I'm letting you determine how I respond. Right? And that's all, like we had Ollie, he's in class today, so that's good. Or he's helping Lauren in class. Ollie broke his Chromebook at school the other day. And so he comes home and he's telling the story. And Lauren's like, what happened? And, oh, hey, there you are. Ollie was telling the story of his broken Chromebook and how he now has to work off $75. But he said, okay, I opened the door and I dropped it. And then I picked it back up. And then this kid, Aaron, knocked it in the door and then he stepped on it. We're like, okay, well, that stinks. We're sorry. And then he's like, and then I was working on IXL, the online school stuff, and then he was frustrated by it. And then he goes, and then I just put my elbows on it, and it broke. Well, one, and he was trying to blame Aaron on it, and Aaron was, we were like, well, wait a minute. So Aaron stepped on it, but yet you were still able to work on it. So it wasn't broken at that point. And then I think it was Hattie that ratted him out and was like, no, Yeah, he put his elbows on it hardly, and then he did that to it and hit it and broke it, you know? Like, that's not something that Ollie would normally do, right? Ollie's a great kid. And so, but what happens is when you have that unresolved anger, when you have those things that you don't get rid of quickly, it causes you to do things. Like, if you offend me and I don't let it, give it to the Lord, I'm allowing you to determine how I respond. But if you do something to me and I immediately give it over to the Lord, then I'm making room for the Holy Spirit to do something in me. He's now the one who will lead me and guide me. He's the one that determines how I respond. And the beauty of it is when I give it over to the Father, I give him room to operate in your life. Because now you don't owe me anything. And the Holy Spirit can do something way more than I ever could do it. You hear about it in marriages. Most of the time it's the wives praying for the husbands, right? And it's like trying to get this, and this. And then they just keep praying. They just keep praying. They give it over to the Father. Nagging will only, and this isn't just for ladies, nagging will only change behavior for a certain amount of time. The hard part is to go, I'm not going to nag, mainly him, anymore. I'm going to give it over to the Lord. I'm going to let the Lord do something that I can't do. Because nagging will only create temporary solutions. But to give it over to the Father, and man, can I say that that's hard? Hey, I'm not going to nag you anymore on this. And you just like, I'm going to let the Lord handle it. And like 7 years later, you're like, Lord, I ain't nagging, bro. Like what? I've done mine. I haven't nagged for 7 years, Lord. And where are you, you know? And to just continue to hand it over to him. What happens is when you forget, when you let it hang around, you forget what you're even hurt by and angry at. And so then it's harder to deal with it. Have you ever had a fight with your spouse and it's gone on for so long that you forget why you're fighting? Y'all ever done that? Yeah, the guys are like, yeah, and the wives are like, no, it was on December the 2nd at 3 p.m. He said this, and this, you know, but the guys, maybe for the guys, we could say, yeah, we fought long enough that we just forgot why we were fighting. Have y'all done, like, I've done that. My wife has the ability to be more black and white than my flesh likes, and so she'll say things, and my flesh responds in a way that is like a little baby, and so then, you know, like after 3 days of just being a baby, then I'm just like, why am I acting like this? What? Why am I? The longer we hold on to it, we forget why we're mad. And when we forget why we're mad, then we actually don't ever get to deal with it. We just sweep it under the rug and we forget that it's there. And then it shows itself somewhere else in another way. And you're like, what in the world? Deal with it quickly so that you know exactly why you're dealing with it. What time is it? Oh, okay, we're good. We're good. Cowboys played Thursday. We're good. All right. All right. Hey, kiddos. Hey, if y'all are like 7 to 10, even though you give me a hard time on Sundays on my things. Hey, if y'all want to, kiddos, like 7 to 10, if you're in here and you just want to like come right here, let's look at something together. Right? So we try to include the kiddos sometime. This is probably a bad idea, the vegetable oil up here. No, like y'all just come like right here if y'all want to come look at this. So, like y'all can come up on the stage. Yeah, right there. Evelyn, you want to come on up? All right. So like, here's the thought and the idea is that glass has the same refraction as vegetable oil, okay? So like what's going to happen is you put this glass bowl there and you put this glass bowl in, and as you start to fill up this inside bowl and it comes over, you won't be able to see it. Sometimes you can still see it a little bit because I've got the gluten-free vegetable oil, so that's probably the problem on that. Gluten messes up everything, so we should have had all the gluten in there. And so maybe you'll still be able to see it slightly. But what will happen is as you pour it in and it overtakes this first one and comes up to the top of this one, the inside one becomes hidden. You can't see it. And so it's the same thing like with us. When you have somebody and they hurt you and they offend you, It's obvious. You can see it. But when we pour grace and mercy into them, into that situation, and overflows and overtakes it, then the only thing that you can see is grace and mercy. So the fault of the person. So let's see if this works. I probably should test this stuff. All right. I was going to ask one of the kiddos to pour this, but that's a bad idea. Although I'm probably the worst at this. Okay. Y'all ready? Y'all gather around here. Come on. Hey, make room. Come on over here. Okay. You ready? Okay. You're probably blocking the light. So it deals with light. So you got to have some light in there. Boom. Squat down. There you go. See? Yeah, there you go. Okay. So you can see it, right? No problem. No problem. Now watch. Here we go. Still see it. So what happens is once it overflows here. No, you can see the top. You got to get level with it. Keep going down. Don't shake the table. Kelly's going to get mad at us.
I'll shake it. Oh my gosh, it's invisible.
You can barely see it because, like I said, this is the gluten-free stuff. We got to get the real stuff.
Mean. Yeah, really mean. It's invisible.
But do you see how like it almost it right?
It
so it bigger. It almost gets rid of it completely. If we had the right oil, then you wouldn't be able to see it at all. But do you see how, like, what it does is it gets rid of it. You can't see the sides. You're seeing a reflection of it, actually. You're actually not seeing the glass. You're seeing this reflection, so it makes it look bigger. But what happens is when we forgive people, right, instead of being so obvious, I almost touched the bowl. That would have been bad. Instead of it being so obvious that fault is there, when we pour our grace and mercy into them and we forgive them, it gets rid of that thing. It covers it up the same way, like you're forgiven by Jesus.
What happens if it spills?
If it spills, then we're in trouble. But can you imagine, like when Jesus forgave us and his blood covered us, what that means is that when Jesus sees us now, like see how you can't see the bottom of it? Right?
I can see it.
Yeah, from that side over there.
I can.
You can see this side over here, but like the bottom of it, you can't see.
I can.
You're just being difficult, Edna. This is the last time you get to come up here. This is the last time. I'm putting you in public school tomorrow, so get ready. But the same way that when Jesus forgives us, he covers our sins. And so now it's like, how can Jesus see me as righteous? Because the sin has been covered. All right, y'all go sit down before I pour vegetable oil on all of y'all. When we're talking about forgiveness, to walk it out is so difficult, but it's so beneficial. Just four things, real quick. They should be up there, maybe. Have a heart of compassion. Over and over and over in the Gospels, we see Jesus. It says that he looked on them with compassion. He had compassion on them, and he was moved. When we're talking about forgiveness, it's about having a heart of compassion that says that I'm not going to focus on the hurt that they caused because I'm concerned about the pain that they're carrying. It's the old saying that hurt people. And when someone hurts me, I can be upset and focused on the hurt. But the first step to forgive is to think about what pain are they carrying. When someone says something ugly to me, when someone cuts me off, whatever happens, they're dealing with something that's probably far greater than what they said to me. The first way to forgive is not to focus on what they said to you, what they did to you, but to think about what they must be going through and what they're having to carry. Refuse to retaliate. Man, that goes against the American culture, doesn't it? But we have to surrender the debt that they owe us and not to hold a grudge. Because when we do that, then we allow the Lord to work in a way that is far greater than we ever could. The problem is sometimes we never get to see it. So we don't ever know what actually happened, but it's not your job to know what happened. Sometimes you want to see it through, and yeah, you're like, hey, Lord, I turn it over to you and just go get them. You know, that's what we think the Lord's going to do. Just go get them. No. To turn it over and then to go, hey, Father, the third step is to just pray for them. Like genuinely, Father, I pray that you would bless them. It's really hard to hate someone when you're praying for them. Yes. I mean, really difficult. When you're praying that the Lord would bless them, that the Lord would bring healing and freedom to them. When you're praying all those things that you dream of for yourself and your family, like, and you're praying that over them, you can't be mad at them. The last one is to keep releasing the offense. Because forgiveness, just like with us, forgiveness is not a one-time thing. It's not with people either. That thing's going to come up again and again and again. And your job is to just keep releasing it over and over. Father, I give that to you. Father, I've already given that to you. I'm not worried about that any longer. I'll give it to you, Father. What if we did that? Like, honestly, like, what if us, what are there, like 120 people in here? What if 120 of us just said, hey, we're going to walk this out. We're going to bear with one another and forgive one another if anyone has a grievance against us, just as the Lord has forgiven you so that you are also to forgive. What if we just did that? We would look so different than the rest of the world. We would look so pure. We would probably be like vegetable oil with the gluten. Like, we would be like pure, and experiments would work. But like, can you imagine if this church was not known for the events that they put on, that we put on, but that they're a place that that people can go and feel loved and welcomed, where grace and mercy flow? What would happen if you and your family became that out there in the world? What people would do is they wouldn't see you anymore. They'd see the love of the Father. And that's what they're after. They're not after church. They're not after religion. They're after the purity of the love of the Father. I know that say these things, and some of the examples were lighthearted, but I do know that there's a weight that some of y'all are carrying that is far greater than I could imagine. There are real things that are happening that are very hurtful. Can I encourage you, though, to forgive? Not out of your own ability, but to yield to the Holy Spirit. Forgiveness does not excuse the wound. The hurt, it heals the wound. Your healing is only going to come by you releasing it. And your desire to see bad things happen to them because they hurt you isn't going to get you anywhere. When we bear with one another and forgive, we make room for the Holy Spirit to move in our lives. Can I just say that the last main theme that I'll say today is that forgiveness is an open path to relationship, that bitterness, anger, resentment are roadblocks to spiritual maturity and to our freedom. All we're going to do right now is just close our eyes for a brief second. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit, and I'll say it, and then you just ask it. So, Holy Spirit, we yield in this moment to you, and we say, Father, is there anyone that we have not been bearing with well? That we've given up, that we've written off, that has frustrated us, and we gave up? If he brings anyone to your mind, just say, okay, I see that one. I see them. And then all you're going to do is say, Father, teach me how to love them well. The second one right here, you're just going to say, Father, is there anyone that I need to forgive? Whether it's fresh, whether it's from this morning, or whether it's from 10 years ago, is there anyone that I need to forgive? And when he does that, when he brings a name, a person, just say, Father, I forgive them. I release the debt. They don't owe me anything else anymore. In Jesus' name. Can I encourage you that today, tomorrow, You might need a little bit more time in that, and don't just disregard it like, yeah, I dealt with that in those few seconds. Once again, this was just an opportunity for you to go, huh, I don't think I'm on 30 anymore. I think we should be going this way. It's just an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to prompt you and go, hey, you forgot about this person. Amen, amen.